Well, greetings everyone and welcome to the Law Hour and Editorial Review. The Law Hour is sponsored by the Gordon Law School of Isabella, Missouri. Now, the Law Hour is an educational service brought to you in the public interest. I'm your narrator, George Gordon. The Law Hour and Editorial Review is heard nationally and internationally 7 days a week here in the United States and in more than 120 countries worldwide over the Internet. For more information about the Law Hour and Editorial Review, please visit our webpage at georgegordon.org, georgegordon.org. Now, the Law Hour and Editorial Review brings you important information about law, science, education, business, politics, religion, health, history, economics, news, and current events. So stay tuned for tonight's special report on current events in the economy when we come back. Hey, you know, if you're earning $50,000 a year and you pay all of your 14 taxes, you get to keep 40% of what you create and produce, and the government gets the other 60%. That's $20,000 for you and $30,000 for the government. Now, isn't that just real special? Now, if you think that your share isn't enough for you, then why don't you work twice as hard and produce twice as much and make $100,000 next year? Then go ahead and pay your same 14 taxes, just like you did this year, and you're going to net about 25%, and the government will get 75%. That means that for working twice as hard and producing twice as much, you're going to net $4,000 more. That's 8% more net take-home pay than you made this year. And that's guaranteed, by the way, by Congress and the IRS. Now, that's why I contend that there ought to be something more intelligent for you and I to do than for us to work to put ourselves in the top 5% of income earners and then only get 25% of it. And I teach about this in my tax class and my status school, which is now on compact disc for adult home study. So why don't you call today and order that free general law CD package that introduces these 8 schools, and let me tell you how to deal with that kind of crime. It's 4 hours of entertaining information, answers many of your legal questions about taxes and why it is that we pay so much and receive so little. And let me show you how to do just that in my tax and status school, which is now available on compact disc for adult homeschooling. Now, to order that free general law CD package, just call direct, or you can go to our webpage, georgegordon.org, click on to the email machine there and send me an email request for that free general law CD package if you prefer. The phone number here, 417-273-4967. Again, that's area code 417-273-4967. And remember, our tax and status school is also available on compact disc for adult homeschooling. Yeah, I picked up the International Forecaster the other day and took a look at what's going on in the world, and it's kind of scary. Every time I pick up the Forecaster or the Privateer, I almost go down to Tim and Jim's and buy another pallet of food. It's getting kind of scary. It has been over the last 2 or 3 years, but have you noticed a steady deterioration over the last 3 years? 2008, 2009, 2010. Now here it is, 2011, and have you noticed anything getting any better? Have you noticed the recovery? Is that worked where you're at? Because here in the Midwest, where I'm located, there has not been any recovery, none, zero. And I'm not sure that there was a recovery. We've been told that there was, and I guess that all made us feel real good, but when it gets right down to where you're driving down Glenstone and you're counting the empty storefronts, or you're driving down Highway 76 in Branson and you're counting the closed theaters, or the number of cars, or as it occurred this year, a Silver Dollar City closed down to weekend operations only in August. I mean, come on, guys, August is the busiest month of the year, and you close down to weekends only. That tells you that people aren't spending their discretionary income on frivolity, you know, like Silver Dollar City or going to the shows and one thing and another. And that's pretty serious, especially for the people that run those shows and that make their livings off of the service industry, you know, that the government so proudly boasts that we're the proprietors of. Now that we have exported our manufacturing base, which our economy back in 1960 was 63% manufacturing and about 37% all other. Today, our manufacturing is 13% and 87% all other, and all that other over there that we're talking about is being closed down also because of that lack of manufacturing base. And I know, if you've got a job and you're working, everything's going along fine. But if you're one of those 14 million people that's unemployed, things aren't going along so good. And here's the kicker. The 14 million that are unemployed aren't out there in the marketplace buying your goods and services. Yeah, that's what the problem is there in Branson, for instance. The 14 million unemployed that 5 years ago were spending their discretionary income over at Silver Dollar City, which supported all the workers at Silver Dollar City, aren't spending any money at Silver Dollar City, and the workers at Silver Dollar City have now been laid off so that they can take their places in the lines, the unemployment lines, like everybody else. What we're dealing with here is a race to the bottom, and for those of us that are still working, got a little something to do, maybe we should pay attention to what's going on around us and see if we can't avoid the unemployment lines. So let me show you a couple of three stories here. Let's take a look at story number one, which is on page 13. It's talking about the bankruptcy of Harrisburg, Pennsylvania. I thought I'd start the stories here with Harrisburg, Pennsylvania, just a short piece. It says, the city council of Harrisburg, Pennsylvania voted to file for bankruptcy. The state capital has 50,000 residents. The city will seek to save $100 million in bonds forgiven and is seeking a 1% sales tax. So they want to do two things here. They want to bankrupt out of $100 million worth of bonds. Now, let's think about this $100 million worth of bonds. You think it's a good idea for Harrisburg to bankrupt out of those bonds? Because those bonds are owned by some labor union, which is the retirement money for maybe your retirement program. You know, assuming that you're maybe a fireman or a policeman or a teacher or some public worker, or for that matter, you could be an electrician, you know, just working out here for Joe Sixpack, and he's paying into this pension fund, and this pension fund is invested in something. You know, they invest it in stocks and bonds and one thing and another. And so the city of Harrisburg, the state capital of Pennsylvania, you'd think that's a pretty safe investment, wouldn't you? And so you invested your money in these bonds maybe 20 years ago or 30 years ago, and now you're, you know, getting ready to retire, you know. And it could be 30 years from now. Maybe you invested in them last month or 6 months ago or 6 years ago, and you're going to retire in 30 years. Well, now the city says, well, we're going to take your $100 million and we're going to spend it, which they've already done. And the people in Harrisburg, now they have whatever it is that they borrowed the money for. They got a city incinerator, or they put in new streets and light poles or whatever, you know. And the people that put up the money now and expected to get paid that money back plus interest over the next 30 years aren't going to get their money back. Isn't that just real special? How would you like to be that guy that is relying upon those bonds for the future? How would you like to be that investor? And maybe you put in $20,000, $30,000, $40,000 of your savings into those bonds, which are now going to pay you exactly zero. So I just thought I'd throw that out there. So the next time you hear about some city saying we're going to declare bankruptcy over there, and you say, well, that's good because I'm a taxpayer and I don't want to pay that, you want to remember that your retirement and your benefits are also tied up in those very same bonds. Now, here's the problem that that these cities have, and it's not just Harrisburg. Vallejo, California declared bankruptcy some years ago, and a little town of about 30,000 in Rhode Island just, I think, this year declared bankruptcy. I don't remember the name of the town, but it was not really important, just one more little town in someplace America. Orange County, California went bankrupt here a few years back, and so when that happens, sometimes there's insurance that covers that, and most of the time there isn't. And whether it's Harrisburg or Vallejo or Orange County or some town in Rhode Island, there are literally thousands of little cities all over America that are going to default on their bond issues. And I say going to default, and that's because they've committed the same mistakes that Harrisburg, Vallejo, and Orange County and this little town Rhode Island have done. They've all done the same thing, and they're all going to come up to the same result. I don't know when. I'm not a prophet, and so I'm not here to tell you that next month, you know, the end of the world's coming. I don't know if it's next month or next year. Well, for you people in Harrisburg, it's right now. But, you know, for your little town, wherever you happen to be, or it could be a big city, you know, California's bankrupt. In fact, in the United States, 36 states are bankrupt. So this is going to happen in 36 states. There might be a few states that won't declare bankruptcy that can pay their bills, but it won't be very many. And there will be some cities that are solvent, and they'll pay their bills. But most of the cities and towns are going to go bankrupt, just like you see all over America. We have an unsustainable economic policy based upon fiat paper money, which God, our Creator, told us not to do many years ago back at Mount Sinai. He gave Moses some instruction. And he said to Moses, he said, now you tell these people over here, now you shall not have an unjust weight or balance in your bag. And our founding fathers, when they created our Constitution, wrote that principle of law right into Article 1, Section 10 of our Constitution. And there's 17 words, and it says, no state shall make anything but gold or silver coin a tender in payment of debt. 17 words, which simply says you shall not have an unjust weight or balance in your bag. And you'll see that in Leviticus 19, verses 35 and 36. And he repeated it a second time in Deuteronomy 25, verses 13 through 16. Now, nobody listens to God. After all, he's old and decrepit and doesn't know what the hell he's talking about. And so we thought, well, the Federal Reserve System's got a better program over here. And they've got stocks and bonds and paper money, and they've got interest and usury, and they've got profit and gain and income tax and all those good things that we want in life. And so we bought into that in this country back in 1913. Now it's taken us, you know, close to 100 years to reap the reward or the results of that practice. And it may take another 10 or 15 years for it to work its way out, but it will ultimately end up in bankruptcy. It will ultimately end up in the loss of about 90% of all of our wealth. So just take a look at all the wealth that you have. Discount that by 90% because that's where you're going to be over the next 5, 10, 15 years. Now, most people would say, well, unless you do thus and so, you don't have to do anything. It's already too late. If you were going to save that 90%, you had to have acted years ago. You're not going to be very likely to save very much of it. Now, you might save some. I'm not suggesting that you're not going to save anything. I mean, if you got your hind end in gear, you might save 10, 20, 30, 40% of your wealth, but you're not going to save that 90%. That's gone. You can just bank on that one. And why do I say that? Well, because that's what's happened in the past every time we've tried this in the past. For instance, in 1783, there was a collapse of our economy just before we wrote our new Constitution and put in Article 1, Section 10. We practiced paper money in this country. We practiced fiat paper currency between 1694 to 1757, I believe it was. And we got the same result then that we're getting right now. We tried this between 1913 and 1929, and we got the same result after 20 years of fiat currency, paper money, that we're getting right now. We've tested this paper money thing in the United States of America. Twice we've gotten a result. We didn't learn anything in 1783 or 1929. And there isn't any reason to believe that we're going to learn anything in 2008 or 2015. So I'm not here to tell you to vote for this guy or write a letter to your senator and so on. I just thought I'd comment on where we're at so that when this happens, you know, you'll say, oh, that's the natural, normal result of what happens when you spend more than you make. Now, our government has a very neat solution to this. See, when you're bankrupt, you don't pull in your horns and spend less and pay down your debt. What you do is you take on more debt. So President Obama, who took over when the debt was at $9 trillion, ran it up to 14, and he's on his way to 20. So if $9 trillion in debt's good, $18 trillion will be twice as good. Which is like saying, let's see, now you've maxed out your credit card and you're bankrupt. And so the solution to your dilemma is for you to spend more money. You've been spending $300 a month more than you take in, so let's go out and spend $600 a month more than we take in, and that'll solve our problem. Well, okay, don't let me get in the way of your happiness and success, but I wanted to point out to you that it hasn't worked in the past. It isn't working now, and it's not likely to work any better in the future. But if you think that it will, why don't you just get after it and let's see how that works out. Now on page 2, there's a second story over here that deals with the Greek real estate tax. And that reminded me of the real estate tax in Virginia back in 1865, right after the Civil War. They put a big tax on real estate, and I thought, well, for those of you that own some real estate here in the United States, maybe we could take a page out of the Greek experience now, then take a page out of the past historical experience of the people in Virginia in 1865, and then maybe you and I might do something constructive to protect our real estate in the 10 or 15 years in the immediate future. The story is on page 2. This is the International Forecaster, put out by Bob Chapman, and if you'd like to get a copy of it, it is the October 15th, 2011 issue. That's 10, 15, 11. And you can probably get onto his website at theinternationalforecaster.com. That's internationalforecaster, all one word, theinternationalforecaster.com. And the guy's name is Bob Chapman. He's an old man. He's like I am, just getting old. And he's sitting here reminiscing about the olden days, and from his experience, I imagine he's got gray hair. If he's like I am, it's probably all white. And he's been around the block a couple of times, and so he writes and tells us some stories about his experiences in the past. He tells us this story going on right now. He says, as you are aware, the Greek government has passed an increase in real estate taxes, which generally are unpayable, and they intend to pass more legislation, making the increases retroactive to 2001. So not only are they going to give you a tax today, they're going to make it retroactive to 2001. They're going to make you pay 10 years in taxes. Now, that's way more than anything that I've imagined, way more than what happened historically here in the United States in the 1860s after the Civil War. Strikes continue day after day as demonstrators march in the streets. Knowing the Greek debt is unpayable, German and French economists are urging a 50% default on Greek debt, which was offered by Greece a year and a half ago. Recent figures call for a 60 to 80% write-off. Greece will fall into default. It's only a matter of when and how much money the EU members want to throw at the problem. The markets, we believe, have priced in a Greek default already, but what hasn't been discounted is the failure of the other five nations that are in trouble. These are called the PIGS nations. That's Portugal, P. Ireland and Italy, that's the I. Greece is the G. And the S is Spain, P-I-I-G-S. There's five of those countries. And they're all bankrupt. And there isn't enough money in the world to bail them out. And that's just where reality is at. Nobody knows what's going to happen when one of these countries actually defaults. They haven't done it yet because the theory behind all of this fiat paper money is that national governments never default on their bonds. It's kind of like cities like Harrisburg and Vallejo and Orange County. And these municipal institutions never default on their bonds, and that's because they've got the taxpayers to bail them out. And the truth of the matter is that's not true. There have been bankruptcies here in the United States in the past, and there are some going on right now, and there's going to be many more in the future. And the concept of this fiat paper money being good and serviceable forever is a fiction, and it's going to come crashing down around our ears, and pretty shortly. I don't know how shortly, I'm just pointing out that it's going to happen. Why do I say it's going to happen? It's always happened in the past. It's in the process of happening right now, and that's what tells me that it's probably going to happen at some time in the future. All right, now let's go back here to Virginia. Here's what happened in Virginia. When the Union won the Civil War, the Virginia legislature was overwhelmed by carpetbaggers and northerners. And they came in and they enacted some new laws. And one of the new laws was is that they doubled the property tax in Virginia. If you were paying $100 last year, this year it's $200. Now, of course, the Southerners who owned the land just lost the war, and so they were broke. All the money they invested in their war bonds was gone. All the money that they had in the bank was gone. All they had was what was left on their farms and plantations, which wasn't much. And then they come along and they doubled their property tax, and so some of them couldn't pay that, and some of them lost their property. So in 1866, they did the same thing. They doubled the property tax again. So now if you're paying $200 last year, this year it's $400. Well, if you couldn't afford to pay $200 last year, what makes you think you can afford to pay $400 this year? And so a bunch more couldn't pay their property tax. And, of course, then the northerners came in there and bought that property up, didn't they? So then the third year, this is 1867 now, it's 1865, 66, 1867, they come in, doubled it again. You're paying $400, now it's $800. Boy, that just about cleaned everybody out. So now most of the landowners in the South have been dispossessed of their land. They not only lost the war, now they've lost their livelihood, they've lost their land, they've just about been wiped out, they've lost everything. And this process is what is now being instigated in Greece. You see, the people that own these bonds in Greece and that are controlling the Greek government are the Germans, the French, and, you know, the big banks, probably Bank of America and J.P. Morgan and others, whoever's in possession of these bonds. And now they're getting the Greek parliament to raise the taxes. What this is, it's going to be a big takeover. And then when these people can't pay these taxes, then the government is going to take the land, and then they can't pay for these bonds. And so these banks in Germany and France and probably the United States are going to take all the land in Greece away from the people. Now, that isn't to say that it's necessarily the fault of the banks. I mean, after all, the banks came in, crooked as they are, and offered the money, and the people took it. The people did not listen to God when he said, you shall not have an unjust weight or balance in your bag, and use gold and silver coin, and that the debtor is servant to the lender. They didn't pay attention to those old proverbs. And when times were good, people were making money and everybody was employed. They went out and they bought houses that they couldn't afford and automobiles that they didn't need and shouldn't have. And so now tough economic times have come, which they do every now and again. They always have in the past. They are now. And they always will in the future, which is why God gave us a land Sabbath and a jubilee to eliminate debt every 7 years and every 50 years. Tough times come. It's just part and parcel with life. You know, it's like old age. It's part and parcel with life, so you should prepare for it. And then when it comes, you're going to get through it as best you can. Well, anyway, the ultimate outcome of this is the people of Greece are going to lose their land in the same way that the people of Virginia lost theirs. So here's my suggestions for you to tuck away in your heart here. You should have the money that you're going to need to pay your taxes for the next 3 or 4 years doubled every year. So whatever your tax bill is, and let's just suppose that your tax is $1,000 a year, okay? Then next year your tax could be $2,000, and then the year after would be $4,000, and then the year after that would be $8,000. So you should have 8 and 4 is 12, 2 is 14, 1 is $15,000 in a sock stuck away someplace so that when this event transpires, you'll be able to pay your taxes for 4 years. Now, you can rest assured that your taxes are going to come down because in 1868, miracle of miracles, the legislature voted to reduce the taxes back to where they were in 1865. After they had dispossessed the landowners of their land, which was the plot and the plan, the people who are stealing the land don't want to pay those outrageous taxes, and so they control the legislature, and they reduce the taxes back down to where they want them. And that's what they'll do in Greece. They will raise the taxes on the Greek landowners today to a level that they know is unsustainable, and then when they dispossess those people of the land, and they're in possession of the land, then they will reduce the taxes back to where they are today. Now, that's been done in the past. It's being done right now in front of your eyeballs, and it will continue to be done in the future. So tuck that one away in your heart, and maybe you can avoid that problem. Now, if for some reason you can't tuck away this $15,000 for this four-year siege on your land, then you better be prepared to get rid of your land right now and salvage what you can out of it, because that's coming to the United States of America, to a city near you, shortly. All right, there's another story on here, and on page 5, it's about Warren Buffett. It's a good story. It's a story about a very successful multi-millionaire. In fact, he's a multi-billionaire, Warren Buffett, 81 years old. Started out self-made man, self-made millionaire. And he started out with nothing, just working as a kid, selling gum and soda pop and one thing and another, made a few bucks and went to college. Today, at age 81, he's worth $37 billion, and I'll tell you that story when we come back. But I got to give you a reminder here that you're listening to The Law Hour, an editorial review. We're sponsored by the Gordon Law School of Isabella, Missouri. Remember, The Law Hour is heard 7 days a week here in the United States. We're heard around the world in more than 120 countries daily over the Internet and radio. If you'd like more information about the Law School and the Law Hour, then please go to our website at georgegordon.org. The Law School teaches family law, tax law, courtroom strategy and procedure, business law, agricultural law, civil rights, and biblical law from the scriptural perspective. Now that's 8 schools in all. The law school is a private, non-commercial, non-profit, non-sectarian law school that is open to individuals but by prearrangement. Now, the law school conducts a homeschooling program for adults on compact disc, and the Law Hour website is updated weekly, and it has our radio log schedule and archives. All of that can be accessed through our website at georgegordon.org. All of these Law Hour programs are archived on the Internet by title and date for your listening convenience, and the Law Hour is an educational service brought to you in the public interest. Now, the law school offers a free 4-hour introductory CD package. Be sure to order one by calling the law school and asking for it. The number is 417-273-4967. Once more, that's area code 417-273-4967. Now, if you're online, you can go to our website, georgegordon.org. Then go to the archives page and you can download that free general law CD package right there. Now, the sources of information that we use on this program are true, accurate, and correct to the best of our knowledge and belief, and the Law Hour and Editorial Review gives credit to those authors and publications that we use on this program, and we often endorse or recommend books, papers, periodicals, and newsletters to our listeners. These endorsements, these recommendations that we give, do not mean that those authors or publications that we're endorsing are necessarily going to reciprocate by endorsing the Law Hour and Editorial Review. Keep in mind that most of these authors and publications that we cite here on the Law Hour may be hostile, political, religious, economic, sectarian, racial, or ethnic partisans, and their viewpoints may not be totally endorsed by the Law Hour and Editorial Review either. Now, these opinions, beliefs, comments, views, and expressions that you hear on this program are mine. They're mine alone. They don't necessarily represent the views, the beliefs, or the opinions of the advertisers, the sponsors, the management, or the staff of this radio network or of this local radio station. So if you'd like more information about the Law Hour and Editorial Review, please go to our website at georgegordon.org, georgegordon.org, or you can call us direct at 417-273-4967. All right, we're talking about Warren Buffett now. I'm reviewing some articles here, some little blurbs that came out of the International Forecaster. Let me give you the Forecaster address. I recommend this newsletter. It's a private newsletter. Costs $170 a year, I believe it is. You can call and ask or go onto their webpage. It's called the internationalforecaster.com. That's all one word. And ask them what the exact price is. I kind of forget. I don't write the checks and pay for these things, but I order them. It comes out twice a week. It runs about 30 pages each issue. That's about 60 pages a week. He publishes it 52 weeks a year. Let's call it 50. Maybe he takes a week or two off. 50, and I'll cut it down, be reasonable, times 50 is 2,500 pages, and I think it's somewhere in the neighborhood of $160. So 160 divided by 2,500 is about 6 cents a page. 6 cents a page. I don't know of any source of information anywhere that's 6 cents a page. Maybe Google. You know, you might get information from Google for 6 cents a page, but I think Bob Chapman's about as accurate as anybody out there. He's not 100% accurate, but he's pretty damn good. And the newsletter is very reasonable and jam-packed with all kinds of neat stories and articles and economic reports. It tells you where the price of gold and silver are twice a week. It tells you who's manipulating the market up and down and how they're doing it and why and how that's going to affect you and your investments. But that's only part of it. There's a story here about Warren Buffett, and I thought I'd relay this one to you because Buffett is an insider. He's one of the oligarchs of the world. He's working hard to bring about a new world order, along with Bill Gates and the Bank for International Settlements, you know, and the Trilateral Commission, and Bilderbergers, and the CFR, and so on. All of these institutions and organizations have a game plan over here, and they plan to execute their plan at your expense. And so if you want to pay for it, just sit back and relax, and they'll take care of that for you. If you don't want to pay for it, then you better get on your toes, because they're after your money. They're after your house. They're after your life when you get down here on the bottom line. And Warren Buffett's one of them, but he's a pretty nice guy. He puts a good sound bite on the news, you know, when you hear him. Well, Warren Buffett is trying to lead by example, holding up his own payslip as a reason why the country's ultra-rich should pay more in taxes. Mr. Buffett, 81, revealed today that he made $62,855,038 in 2010. Proving that he, Warren Buffett, clearly hasn't been going to bed worried about his financial future. Now, even though he received nearly $63 million last year, Mr. Buffett only paid $7 million in federal income taxes, which is just over 10% of his total income. That tax rate is far smaller than many people who make less when the man nicknamed the Oracle of Omaha is mentioned. The salary of the multi-billionaire is right at the heart of national political debate, as he was the one that inspired President Obama to implement a national tax on the country's wealthiest 1%. The reason for the startling percentage is that only 40 million of his salary was taxable, because much of his income is generated from investments, which are taxed at a significantly lower rate than standard wages. People who make money with money are getting taxed at a far lower rate than people who make money by their own labor. That's what Mr. Buffett told CNN Money. Mr. Buffett has been very vocal in recent tax debates because he has often said that he pays a lower tax rate than many of his employees, often singling out his assistant at Berkshire Hathaway. That's his secretary out in the front office. Now, the amount of taxes that Mr. Buffett paid is 17.4% of his taxable income. One of Mr. Buffett's gripes is that many of his employees pay a tax rate in the 30% range, as opposed to the teens like he does. And though he has talked about releasing his tax returns for some time now, Wednesday was the first day when the exact figures have been brought to light. Well, let's just pause right there and think about some of the statements here that have been made. Mr. Buffett's paying somewhere in the neighborhood of 17%, and he thinks that people like him, billionaires, should pay more. Well, these billionaires that think that they should pay more if they want to, the federal government has a program for people that have too much money and don't know what to do with it. On your tax return, you can offer to pay more money, and they'll take it. It's like a charitable contribution to your church. And believe it or not, the U.S. government receives, I don't know if it's many billions, but it's some billions of dollars a year from taxpayers who want to pay more money in taxes. So you don't need a law to require you to pay more. If you want to pay more, you can do that. So, Mr. Buffett, you don't have to wait until somebody forces you to pay 30%. If you think that your 17% isn't enough, and that your $7 million in taxes paid last year wasn't enough, you could double that to $14 million, just write out the check. Make sure that you check the box that says charitable contribution, and name the federal government as the recipient, and they'll take your money. That's how simple that is. Don't even need a new law. Now, the truth of the matter is, Mr. Buffett's what'd he pay, $7 million last year? He's worth $37 billion. Now, $1 billion is $1,000 million. And just see if we can picture this a little bit. you've got $1,000 and you're going to pay $7 in taxes. Now, is that a big deal? So when Warren Buffett pays $7 million in taxes on $1 billion of income, it's chump change. Chump change. Now, he's got an agenda. He's one of the New World Order. He wants to take over the world and impose a new communist regime called the New World Order. And they're well on the way to accomplishing that goal. And according to Bible prophecy, they're going to succeed in their goal for a short time, 1 hour in Bible prophecy, which is probably about a year, maybe two, maybe three. So he's going to succeed in his goal over here. But his goal isn't to raise the tax rates or to raise taxes on him and Bill Gates and George Soros. His objective is to raise the tax rates on those people making $250,000 a year or more. See, they're not just going to tax the 200 or 300 billionaires in the country. They're going to tax about 2 million millionaires in the country. And I suppose, you know, from your point of view, if you wanted to tax somebody, you want to tax the rich. What you're saying, in effect, is I want to take somebody else's property. Now, we have a law enacted by God at Mount Sinai that says thou shalt not steal. And you steal from people when you take their property from them, no matter how deserving or undeserving they may be. You know, you may say, Warren Buffett is undeserving of his $37 billion. I don't know. I don't know how deserving he is. I don't know how deserving Mr. Gates is or how deserving anybody else is. I'm just here to point out that whether you take it as a thug in Central Park by sticking a gun in somebody's face, or you vote for it and then you send out a bunch of thugs from the IRS to take it, theft is theft is theft is theft, you know. So whether you call it, well, this is legalized theft, see, because we did it through the legislature. We voted it in. Well, yeah, what you did was you took 30 million voters against 1 or 2 million voters, and we said, well, we're going to vote, and our vote is that you rich guys over there pay more money. And it's called the progressive income tax. Well, first of all, Mr. Buffett isn't going to pay a dime in new taxes, no matter what the rate is. You know, before Reagan took office, the tax rate on the top tier was 91%, and Mr. Buffett wasn't paying any tax at 91%, and he isn't going to pay any more tax at 17% or 17% or 70%. He isn't going to pay any tax at all. The rich people of the country don't pay tax. So let's understand that. The tax rate may be there, but the actual tax dollars aren't. In fact, you take big corporations, you know, like General Electric, I think it was last year, 2010, they paid zero tax, not a dime, on, I don't know, $3 or 4 billion in income. Now, how do they do that? Well, there's accounting procedures that they go through. And there's loopholes in the law. Yeah, you got a lawyer that says you got to pay 17%, but sept. And when Mr. Buffett got down on the bottom line, I don't know how much money he made last year, they didn't say, but he had $63 million of income. Now, what that means is that out of the $1 billion that he made last year, he took $63 million of it in income, and then he paid $7 million in taxes on it. That was to pay his overhead and daily expenses. There's a woman there in Hollywood. Her name is Madonna. She makes a bunch of money. Do you know that woman spends $1 million a month on her household expense? Saw a little piece in the paper the other day about Madonna paying $1 million a month, $12 million a year. That's just to keep up the house. That's to pay the butler and the baker and the gardener and, you know, expenses around the house. How much she makes, I don't know. How much does she spend? How much tax does she pay? I don't know. Now, it is true that all of these people pay a little tax. What that boils down to, I've explained this a number of times. If you go to my archives and you take a look at some of these economic programs, I'll explain it to you in short order here. The way the rich people avoid paying taxes is that they just raise the price of their products to cover whatever the tax might be. So when you raise these taxes on these millionaires, all they're going to do is raise the prices of their products that they're selling you in the marketplace to pay the tax. Let me give you an illustration of that. I used to run a company called Atlantis Manufacturing Company, and the state increased the corporate income tax by 5%. Now, my company made $1 million a year. We netted 10%, $100,000, and they paid a 5% income tax, which was $5,000. And then one day, they raised my taxes by 5%. So I raised my catalog prices by 5%. So last year, I charged $1 million to my customers to buy my products. This year, I charge them $1,050,000. So this year, you know, inflation and costs went up, and so I made my same $100,000. Actually, I made a little more than that. But, you know, just saying I made my $100,000, how much additional tax did I pay? Well, 5% of 5% is $250. So this year I had to pay $5,250 in tax. How much did I raise my prices? $50,000. So how much did I net? $49,750. $49,750. I only had one businessman that called me on it. It was the Skaggs furniture store in Burley, Idaho. He said, "Hey, Gordon, how come you raised your prices?" I said, Hey, pay attention. Didn't you see a 5% increase in our corporate income tax last year?" "Oh, yeah, I remember that. Something about that was in the paper, wasn't it?" I said, "Yeah." He said, "Oh, yeah, well, it makes sense. I just passed it along to you." He couldn't figure out the numbers either. So if you can't figure out the numbers and you're a wage earner or a housewife, sit back and relax. You've been dumbed down in the public school and you can't add and subtract and you can't do your percentages. And then you're bitching over here because the bank can. And these guys are robbing you and raping you and pillaging you over here, and they work in conjunction with people like Warren Buffett and George Soros. You know, they're over here working hard to screw you, blue you, and tattoo you, and they're doing a hell of a job of it. So I just wanted to let you know that Warren Buffett is out here beating the gongs because he wants taxes raised, which will impoverish the poor. We're going to raise the taxes on the wealthy who aren't going to pay it. They're going to pass those costs through to the poor who are going to pay it and take it in the shorts. That's the way the game's played. So let's all of us wake up and smell the coffee. The next time somebody says, "Well, let's raise taxes on General Motors," all that's going to do is raise the price of cars. Let's raise taxes on the utility company. All that's going to do is raise the price of your electric bill. Let's raise the taxes and let's really stick it to these big corporations like Exxon and Shell Oil, who are making all of these obscene profits in oil. Okay, all that's going to do is raise the price of gasoline. If you want to pay another nickel at the pump, raise taxes on Exxon by $1 billion. That's what will happen. So when I'm reading these stories, you know, I'm kind of skeptical, and I say Warren Buffett is trying to lead by example. If Mr. Buffett wanted to pay another $7, $10, or $20 million, he could do that by simply writing the check and calling it a charitable deduction and naming the federal government as the recipient of it. But no, he's out here beating the gong, wanting Congress to raise the taxes on all of this class of people called millionaires who don't want to pay more tax. If they did, they would. They'd volunteer. They don't want to volunteer. And when they pass this tax, it isn't going to be on billionaires only or millionaires only. It's going to be on the whole class of people that make $250,000 a year or more, which isn't going to affect you, Bob, because you're only making $38,800 a year. Right? Right, Bob? Until you go to the gas pump and gasoline's 5 cents a gallon more, and then that's where you're going to pay it. So if you think you're going to get ahead by voting for new taxes on the rich, you get your head up your proverbial hind end. Now, there's a little bit more to the story over here. The rise of legendary investor Warren Buffett. Business magnate Warren Edward Buffett is regarded as one of the most successful investors in the world, so much so he's often introduced as legendary investor Warren Buffett. He's the primary shareholder, chairman, and CEO of Berkshire Hathaway and is consistently ranked among the world's wealthiest people. He came out on top as the world's wealthiest person in 2008 and as the third wealthiest person in the world this year in 2011. In 1999, Buffett was named the top money manager of the 20th century in a survey by the Carson Group ahead of Peter Lynch and John Templeton. In 2009, after having donated billions to charity, he was reported to have a net worth of $37 billion. Mr. Buffett, who was born in Omaha, Nebraska, showed an interest in making and saving money from an early age. As an enterprising schoolboy, he would go door to door selling chewing gum, soft drinks, and magazines. On a trip to New York at the age of 10, he made it a point to visit the New York Stock Exchange. At the age of 11, he bought 3 shares of Citi Services Preferred for himself and 3 for his sister. While in high school, he invested in a business owned by his father and bought a farm worked by a tenant farmer. By the time he finished college, Buffett had accumulated more than $90,000 in savings. Warren Buffett started his career working at Buffett Falk & Company in Omaha from 1951 to 54 as an investment salesman. He then went on to join at Graham Newton Corporation in New York as a securities analyst. From 56 to 69, he was a general partner at Buffett Partnership Limited, and since 1970, he has been president and CEO of Berkshire Hathaway Incorporated. U.S. resident Barack Obama, that should be U.S. president, but they called him resident here, the Presidential Medal of Freedom, he gave that to Warren Buffett, along with Bill Gates, was named the most influential global thinker in foreign policy in a 2010 report. The Republican Senator Tim Hulskamp of Kansas has been in cahoots with Mr. Buffett, calling on the money manager to release his returns, but only after Mr. Buffett prompted him to do so. Mr. Buffett thinks that a number of America's wealthy should release their full returns in a hope of raising the level of the debate, and though he has still yet to do so. If you could get other ultra-rich Americans to publish their returns along with mine, that would be very useful to the tax dialogue and the intelligent reform that we need, Buffett wrote in a letter to the senator. I stand ready and willing, indeed eager, to participate in this exercise, Mr. Buffett continued. Buffett has been very tactful when discussing Mr. Obama's Buffett rule because the new legislation would target anyone making over $250,000 per year as opposed to the super wealthy. So what they're after here is the people that make $250,000 a year. Now that's about the top 5% of income earners in the country. That's the doctors and dentists. It's the professional class of America. It's the lawyers. You know, if you were to take the average Joe Sixpack dentist, doctor, real estate salesman, or real estate broker at least, maybe some of the salesmen, you know, they're making $100,000 to $250,000 a year. You see, then once you get this thing, you get this act passed at $1 million, then you can lower it to $500,000, then you can lower it to $250,000, then you can lower it to $1/10 million. See, just like the income tax, see, when it came in, they just did it I think it was 1%, and then 2%, and then 5%, and then it peaked at 91%, and That 91% never affected the millionaires. It only affected the little guy. The little guy that goes out here and wins the lottery and makes $1 million and they take 91% of it from him. That's the guy that it affects. It doesn't affect General Electric, General Motors, Warren Buffett, or Bill Gates. Never has, doesn't now, and never will. And you can forget that. What they're after is the wealthy and successful in the country, you know, the people that are making a pretty good living as doctors and dentists and so on. That's the target group. Those are the guys that they're after, and they're a minority. They're all Republicans, and so all you wage earners out there belong to the labor unions. They've all taught you how to vote Democratic, and so they're gonna vote Democratic. And they're going to take it from you at the gas pump, at the real estate closing. They're going to take it from you when you go down to buy that new software from Microsoft. It's true, it is true, that General Motors files a tax return and writes a check, but they don't pay any tax. They're tax collectors, and they collect it from you, the consumer, and pay it over to the government. They're just middlemen. Just middlemen. And their income is tax-free. Always has been, is now, and is always going to be. Nothing's going to change. So any time that there's a tax increase, I don't care what you call it, any time that there's a tax increase, Joe Sixpack, the union worker, is going to pay 100% of it every time. And you've always done it in the past, you're doing it now, and you're always going to do it in the future. So when you hear tax increase, suck it in, you know, and say to yourself, uh-oh, they're after my money. That's what the bottom line to that is. Well, I'm just about out of time, so let me give you a little promo here on the International Forecaster put out by Bob Chapman. It's about 30 pages twice a week. And Bob Chapman is, I don't know how old he is, but he's over 70. He's been in the investment business for 50 years. He's an old-timey stockbroker. Used to work for the CIA or the intelligence services somewhere. If it wasn't CIA, it was Army or somebody else. Has a lot of good contacts with people in government and out of government, and in business and out of business. And then he reports on that twice a week. And of all the newsletters that are out there, I rank the International Forecaster number one. That's number one. Now, there's probably 50 of them out there, and they're all good. I mean, there might be a couple of three that aren't too good, but Joel Skousen's report every week is a good one. I read that one. The Privateer comes out twice a month. And Franklin Sanders, Money Changer. Don McIlvaney, the MIA, the McIlvaney Intelligence Advisor. They're all good. I've just ranked this one number one. It's bigger and more all-encompassing and has more to say. He's on radio quite often. He's on a number of talk shows and one thing and another. So it's the International Forecaster. That's the internationalforecaster.com. Or you can go to bob@inforecaster.com. You can go to theinternationalforecaster.com. And that'll just about tell you that story. You're looking for the 10. I'm going to cover this week. 10, 15, 11. It's the Saturday issue, 15th of October, 2011. Hey, I'm about out of time. I got to give you a final reminder here that you have been listening to The Law Hour and Editorial Review. We're sponsored by the Gordon Law School of Isabella, Missouri. Now, The Law Hour is heard 7 days a week here in the United States. We're heard around the world in more than 120 countries daily over the Internet and radio. If you'd like more information about The Law School and The Law Hour, then please go to our website at georgegordon.org. That's georgegordon.org. The law school teaches family law, tax law, courtroom strategy and procedure, business law, agricultural law, civil rights, and biblical law from the scriptural perspective. Now that's 8 schools in all. The law school is a private, non-commercial, non-profit, non-sectarian law school that is open to individuals, but by prearrangement. The sources of information that we use on this program are true, accurate, and correct to the best of our knowledge and belief. And the Law Hour and editorial review, if I get the page here, we'll have to leave it right there, and I'll see you back here tomorrow night. Same time, same station, God willing, of course. So until then, good night, friends.